Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 14, 15, and 16 together. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 this morning. If you would, please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this church that you've given us. I feel like it's a great church. I really know that these people are great people, so I know it's a great church. God, please work in our midst today, though. We need to hear from heaven. We need to be challenged. We need to be convicted. We need to be strengthened. Just work in our midst today. Father, a lot of services going on the properties today. God bless them. Use them. Help them to change lives. See people saved. And Father, we ask that in this room. If there's someone in here that does not know for sure that this God is their Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, that today they would trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Work in our midst today, we ask again in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
We ask you now, if you would, make sure that your electronic devices are turned off or to vibrate. By the way, if during the service you hear a little dee 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 in the PA system, it's because somebody in the first three rows has a cell phone on, and our equipment picks that up, and then there is a laser set up back here, and it will bore a hole in the back of your head. And so we just want you to be aware, if it goes off and you have a cell phone, duck. And so help us with that, if you would, this morning, please. And we'll ask you now that you not get up and move around and listen very carefully today. We're finishing and completing this morning a series of messages entitled from the simple three-letter word in the Bible, and that word is let. We began by talking about let it go. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Let the bitterness go, friend, with the forgiveness of God. We talked about let it be, to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We talked about let's grow up. We call that the sore rib sermon, for so many men were getting ribbed by their wives. But let's grow up. Let's go on to perfection, the Bible says. We talked about let's go to church. Good idea for everybody. Last week we talked about let's get on the right side. Going outside the camp unto Jesus, bearing his reproach. This morning, I want to talk to you about let's make a difference. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, dear people, listen to me this morning. Please listen very carefully. The Bible tells us that we need to let our light so shine before men. There's a great restraining movement today, a great attitude today in this world that Christians need to shut up, keep what they believe to themselves, because we don't need to be intolerant. We don't need to shove anything we believe down anybody's throat. And there's a great, I believe it's a spirit of oppression that's being trying to put upon the people of God by telling us that if we express what we believe, whether in our personal lives, in our homes, our families, our community, that we are doing wrong because we're forcing what we believe on this world. The Bible says, and this is all, if you have one of those words of Christ in red Bibles, this is Jesus saying, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. His admonition was, you that have the light, you make sure you let the light shine by how you live. And your works is not just your actions. It is your words as well as your actions. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And what he's simply saying is this morning. Let's make a difference with our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a time when the people of God could compromise and live a life that's not befitting the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. But if there was ever a day when God's people needed to let their light shine before a world in darkness, it's now. Now, I want to challenge you in some specific areas this morning about let your light so shine. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 5. And in this particular chapter, in verse 13, he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." In verse number 14, "Ye are the light of the world." Two things here. Salt is what the Lord meant to give us an understanding that our lives should have an impact. Salt preserved from corruption and an enhanced flavor. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Your life should impact the world in which you live in such a way that you prevent the world in which you live from corruption and you flavor the world in which you live to make it better. All you have to do is have French fries without salt on it, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You might as well eat your shoelaces, for goodness sakes. And it enhances the flavor. Too much salt is not good for you, but enough salt is just right. See, he's talking about the impact as salt. When he's talking about light, and we are likened to the light of this world, he's not talking about impact now. He's talking about influence. How that light provides direction and light prevents darkness. "Ye are the light of the world," he said. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's understand then that we as the light in this world are a people who need to let our light so shine. Now here. See, here's the thing. He did not say, "Your light will shine." He said, "Let it." So in other words, we could prevent all this from happening. God's people, too many Christians today, are being told, "You need to put your light under a bushel and shut your mouth and sit down and be quiet and stop trying to tell other people about Christ and the gospel and salvation. You just need to be quiet because you're just one of many religions and all we are." He didn't say that religion is the right light of the world. He said we were the light of the world. That means we're imperfect. It doesn't mean we present ourselves. It means we present Christ, who's the light of this world. But how do we do that? How is it we are to be the light of the world? Well, first of all, you have to have the light. Hold your place here. Turn to John chapter 8 very quickly, please. Gospel of John in chapter 8. To be the light of the world and to let your light so shine, first of all, you have to have the light. Now look at John chapter 8 and verse number 12. And I want you to hold your place there in Matthew. We'll come back to that in a second. But in John chapter 8 and verse 12, we have to have the light. Well, who is that or what is that? John 8, 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Hey, when we talk about let your light so shine, we're not talking about making you well known. We're not talking about making ourselves well known. Well, look at Mike Johnson. Here's Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is the light of the world. The only reason I am the light of the world and you are the light of the world is because you have Christ as your Savior. You have to have the light to be the light, okay? So first of all, for us to be the light, for us to make a difference, the first thing we need is to have Christ as our Savior. That's number one. See, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We don't want people to know our name. We don't care if they know who we are or what we are. By the way, you drive around this property. My name's not on the sign out in the front. It's not on the buses over here. I'm not promoting Mike Johnson as the pastor of Shasta Baptist Church. That's not the point. The point is we promote Jesus Christ. We lift up Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the light of the world because he said he was and he is. I've been in many places in this world, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen the darkness of many kinds of religion in this world. Dear people, dear sweet people, bound in the darkness of religions where there is no Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. For you to be the light and to make a difference, you have to have the light. You've got to have Christ as your Savior this morning. Otherwise, we're just another religion. We're just another philosophy. We're just presenting something else to the world, but we don't. We preach Christ and Him crucified. You have to have the light. By the way, you need to walk in that light. You see what he said in verse 12? "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If we walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John chapter 1 says, "We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Jesus gave us the light of the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you have Christ as your Savior, but you don't walk in the light of the knowledge of the Son of God and the direction from the Word of God, you're still walking in darkness. You have the light in here, but it's not showing up by how you live. Let me also say this about this thing about light. Don't let anybody put your light out, friend. Don't let them cover it up for you. Don't let somebody tell you, well, just shut your mouth and sit down and be quiet. Now, we're not to be obnoxious and rude. This is a political year, and we're seeing some, I don't think it's unprecedented, attacks of candidates against candidates, but it seems like you're hearing more and more people stealing somebody's sign off of somebody's lawn, and you hear people arguing in public places. You voted for so-and-so, you're an idiot. And they start arguing with each other in public. And use a little civility, would you please? Have a little respect for somebody's difference. If they're voting for a candidate who's an idiot, that's their fault, okay? Then just leave them alone. But don't argue with them about it. And don't get on somebody's case about it and those sorts of things. But it's interesting how people get all passionate about a political situation and they have Christ in their hearts and they've got their mouths shut and their life is hiding the light of the gospel of Christ. I don't understand that. I'm nobody and I'm nothing, but Jesus is somebody and Jesus is something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not letting anybody turn my light off. Don't you let anybody do that to you. Have the light, friend. Walk in the light. Don't let anybody turn the light. And then, back to Matthew 5 and 16, but then you have to let your light so shine. Because you see, if we don't, then the Bible tells us that light does many wonderful things. It gives us direction. The light dispels darkness. It delays it. The light does many wonderful things for us. The Bible says, and I'll show you the verses in a moment, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light. It's not that we want to shine the light so everybody will be happy like we're happy. You shine the light on this world, of Christ on this world, and there's not everyone's going to be pleased about that. But they will know what the light is. And they'll have an opportunity. But the key is Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light so shine. So then I guess it's an optional thing. We who are saved have Christ, who's the light of the world. We who are saved and try to do what the Bible tells us to do, we walk in the light as He is in the light. And then when it comes to the world, we who are saved, too many of us, we get amnesia. We're fearful. We really believe what the world says when the world says we're intolerant because we express our beliefs. And we don't let our light shine. Can I tell you what happens then? Then you leave people in darkness. But Pastor Johnson, if they don't like it, what do I do? You kindly, compassionately, with a Christ-like attitude, go ahead and let your light so shine anyhow. Because would you rather leave them in the darkness or would you at least give them the opportunity to have known what the light is? And the light is Christ. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As it says there in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What happens when a Christian does that? When a Christian does that, they prevail. That darkness does not prevail. What happens when a Christian decides they're not going to let the light so shine? Then darkness wins. See, we have to understand something this morning. Those things that happen in the world with which we do not agree, those things that happen in our own cities, right here in our town, those things that happen that affect our lives, that are wrong and that are wicked, it's not because what's wrong is better, it's because what's right is not presented. And we're giving in to the darkness. We're not the salt of the earth, so the corruption progresses. It is not the success of wrong, it is the failure of right that causes what we see in our society today. See, look, if we have to change the minds and lives of people who are wrong and get wrong people to live right, then we're in trouble. We're in great trouble. But when you present the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone and they accept Him as their personal Savior, their life changes, then they do what the Bible says. That changes them rather than changes their behavior. That's why we present Christ as the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let's make a difference this morning. Let's decide that we do not force the light on people, but we let the light of Christ shine through our life and our actions and our words and what we say and what we do and how we live it, so they get the light that they need. Oh, by the way, and look at verse 16. And glorifies your Father which is in heaven. Byproduct and a great byproduct of a Christian who lets their light so shine as God is glorified out of that. I've got people telling me, Pastor Johnson, you know, Christians, they don't realize they're causing damage to the cause of Christ. And they're disgracing God because they're living their Christian life and professing their faith and telling people about Christ. Don't they understand how damaging that is to God? My Bible says it glorifies God when a Christian lets his light so shine. So let's do that today, please. Let's make a difference this morning. First of all, let's make a difference as a Christian. Do not promote yourself, promote Christ. Realize how you live your life is how you present Christ. Now, we do not believe in lifestyle evangelism. No one is ever going to get saved because of how you live your life. You're going to have to tell them the gospel so they can be saved. But we also know this. You are the only Jesus people are ever going to know and understand. Now, can I ask you a question? What kind of impression are they getting about Jesus Christ from you? Well, they should know about that. They should know I'm imperfect and Christ is perfect. They should know this. No, they don't know that. Your neighbor saw you this morning going out of your house, getting in your car with a Bible in your hand, headed to church. They saw you. All you have to do is go and talk to them. Oh, yeah, I know that. I've got neighbors who know what time I go to church. Kind of makes me nervous sometimes, but I got neighbors who know what time I go to church. Oh, yeah, I see you every Sunday morning. You're leaving with your wife. I see you going out there, and I see you this, and I see you that, and I see you do this, and I see you do that. I didn't stand out in my front yard. Hey! The Holy One is leaving the neighborhood. Darkness will now prevail until I return. So just hold out faithful to the end. I shall return. That would be kind of interesting, though. You know that? That might snap those neighbors out real quick. You know what I mean? That would be kind of an interesting way to leave the neighborhood. Big PA system on top of the car. Frankly, you don't have to do that. They saw it. I guarantee you, friend. When you let your light so shine, the Bible says before men, they see your good works. They know that. But as a child of God, what are we really trying to present? Are we trying to present ourselves? Are we trying to present Christ? Now, people will reject us because they reject Christ. But if they do that, that's not our problem. We don't have to be concerned about that part of it. But ladies and gentlemen, if we're a Christian, if you are a child of God this morning, please let your light so shine before men, because their understanding about Jesus Christ is from you, not the fish bumper sticker on your car. Now, one of those bumper stickers says, I work for a Jewish carpenter. I never understood that thing, quite frankly. But you know, some of them they're kind of silly, to be honest. If you have one, God bless you. But all I'm saying is this. The idea of what a Christian's like, they're getting that from you. That means the idea of what Christ is like is coming from your life. Well, that's why I don't tell anybody I'm a Christian, because, boy, my life is not right. And look at me, friend. Look at me. You are a coward. Number two, you are gutless to hide behind a sorry excuse like that. Because that's convenient. Isn't that convenient? To say, well, I'm not much and I don't live right, so I don't ever say anything. No, I tell you what you should do is get right with God so you do live right, so you can say something. Because the other one is terrible. What we're saying is this. I've given in to the darkness, so I'll just let the rest of them join me. That's what you just said by that. That's terrible. Christian, look at me. That's awful. What we're saying is, I don't care if they live in darkness. I don't care if I'm another reason for hypocrisy being used, why people don't go to church, why they want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. That's terrible. No, we can't do that. That's the most unloving, unkind, uncompassionate thing I could possibly imagine, is giving people up to darkness and a life that reflects darkness instead of the light of Jesus Christ. No, we can't. I'm not asking you to take one of those big family Bibles and go around and beat everybody over the head with it. I think I'd rather see that than Christians who have decided in their life. No, please, just listen. Brethren, people who've decided that by how they live their life and what they do, they say, well, since I don't do what I should, I'm just going to give in to everything else and keep my mouth shut. Let your light so shine. As a Christian, friend, now please balance this thing. Please be kind. Please be compassionate. I got a phone call yesterday from a young man who wanted me to vote no on Proposition 8. It's the marriage initiative. And he called the house and he said, I want you to vote no on Proposition 8. And I said, well, partner, I said, I'm a yes on 8 man myself. He goes, that's too bad. And I said, I didn't want to argue with this guy. I didn't want to get into it with him over the telephone. I just said, well, that's what I'm going to do because I believe it's the right thing, and I'll talk to you later. I could have locked horns with this kid on the phone, going through all the stuff about how God created marriage. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. We could have gone all the stuff if you wanted to. But look, let me tell you something. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, somewhere in the balance of making good sermon illustrations by how rudely we treat people, and somewhere in the balance of taking a stand for Jesus Christ, is Christ-like presentation of the light of Jesus Christ. Now look here, let's be clear about something. Jesus could be tough when he needed to be tough. He wasn't that sissy, cranked out, burnout crank freak that the Hollywood makes him look like. He cleared the temple. Jesus could stand up before the unrighteousness of the so-called righteous. But he also had great compassion. Let your light so shine, friend. You listen to me. You are a child of God. You know Christ as your Savior. Let your light so shine. As a Christian, number two, as a citizen, let your light so shine as a citizen. This is not a political church, and we don't get involved in the political arena to a great deal. But I will say this. We are in a few weeks going to elect a president of the United States of America. We're going to put a man in a position, earthly speaking, over the greatest nation on this planet. Christian, if you are not registered to vote and you do not vote, we do not promote candidates here, but if you're not registered to vote, you're a part of the problem in America. We will not tell you who to vote for. Now, we'll talk to you about some initiatives. I'll get to that in a second. But we don't promote candidates. It's not because of our concern about the IRS, I understand, has been watching. Our services are fed to the internet. The IRS has been watching services and churches to see if they're promoting candidates to take their tax-exempt status away from them. Well, we don't promote candidates not because of the IRS, but because, ladies and gentlemen, we promote you to do this. Vote your biblical conscience. But if you're not registered to vote, you can't vote. And tomorrow's the last day. So if you've not registered by tomorrow, you just did what half of America is going to do. Stay home and do nothing. And less than half of the half who are going to vote are going to put people in office who are going to control your life. So if you're not, look at me. So if you're not going to get involved in the process, don't complain when they come in and take your properties away from you by right of eminent domain and other foolishness that goes on. If you don't get involved in this process by your vote. Now, let me say this. I want to get on to the process here of things. Please listen to me. You get a voter registration packet and you get a voter information guide. That's not junk mail. I read mine in great detail. There are 7 candidates running for city council in the city of Redding, California. I read every one of their statements and what they believe and where they stand. One of them is sitting here in the room this morning. Those are people right here in our area. I'll read every initiative. I'll read who's for it, who's against it, what's involved in it, what their statement is, how it'll impact this country. And I won't vote on what I think will do best for Mike Johnson. I'll try to vote on what I believe is best for the United States of America and for my city and my area. See, that's a biblical conscience. The right of life in the womb is a biblical matter. The right of protection. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it this morning, but I want to take a moment and say this. If we don't stop this thing in America of becoming a socialist nation, we're in trouble. We are a socialist nation, and I'll prove it to you. We're going to elect a candidate based on what that candidate will get us and do for us as a country, instead of electing candidates who will say, we're going to leave you alone so you can do what you do best. And we're a bunch of socialists in this nation. It's insanity. We have to stop that. That's your, see, biblically, ladies and gentlemen, God is a capitalist. He is a capitalist. Prove it to you. The parables where the master comes and gives a five to one, talents to one, two talents to another. That's money, not abilities. And one talent to another, reckons and comes back and said, how did you do? The guy with the five got five more, and he said, oh, that's bad. Let's take it away and spread the wealth. No, that's not good. The man who got the five got five more. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. That guy was God in the parable. That's the way God is. The idea of voting biblical conscience helps you to understand through all the mess of things. But if you don't register and you don't vote, you are giving this country away. And we cannot do that. Let your light so shine. God made us Christians first, but we're citizens of this great nation. Let your light so shine. You have until tomorrow to register to vote. Register. Vote your biblical conscience. Look at the initiatives there on the ballot. Let your light so shine as a citizen. Obey the laws. So you like all the laws, Pastor Johnson? No. Do you obey all the laws, Pastor Johnson? Point two. The truth of the matter is, I do obey the law. And I, look at me. And I pay my taxes, and I do what a citizen's supposed to do in this country. I was raised by my grandparents for a good portion of my life, and they taught me that living in America is a privilege. And thereby I receive certain rights. And we got it backwards today. We think everybody has rights without the privileges. Backwards. They taught me you have a privilege of living in this country. And you're supposed to make a difference in the nation. I'm supposed to make my America better America. America's not supposed to make my life better. Turn the process around. Proposition 8 initiative simply states the Constitution of the State of California will say that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now why do we even have to put that? And the Constitution is beyond my wildest imagination, except for the fact that I'm a native Californian, born and raised here. They're going to shove this thing down our throat until we embrace their lifestyle, and they force us by law to embrace the homosexual lifestyle. You got a chance to make your voice, you better speak up. I'm not against anybody, ladies and gentlemen. I don't hate anybody. It's not about hatred. It's not about saying, well, you're against these people. I'm for what the Bible says. God created marriage and he made it between a man and a woman. I'm for what God says. As a citizen, we need to let our light shine by praying for our leaders. November the 5th, we may not have an office who we want to have in office. I will still pray for him. I will pray for them. Pray for those who lead our nation. They guide and direct the future of our lives as citizens. Let your light so shine. Number three, let your light so shine as a church. Jesus is the inspector general of the churches. Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3 in the Bible. We have Jesus as he is now in Revelation chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, the Bible said Jesus walks up and down in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And there's a lot of figurative speech in the book of the Revelation. But in Revelation 1, 20, it tells us what those seven golden candlesticks are. They're the church, the Bible says, the churches of the day. And Jesus is walking up and down in the midst of the church, and he's inspecting it. In Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, he gives his report on seven churches that existed in that day, and those seven churches have existed now since that time till today. And they are also a dispensational era of churches, and the seventh church is the church of Laodicea, which was a church that was, in its own mind, rich, increased with good, and had need of nothing. But a church Jesus examined and said was wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And it was a church that had sold out to the society in which they lived. And the inspector general looked at it and he says, you make me sick. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. God must look down from heaven upon many of us in our churches today and say, that church makes me sick. Because they've sold out to the world and they've sold out to the concepts and philosophies of this world. Shasta Baptist Church, ladies and gentlemen, is by no means a perfect church. Don't have a perfect pastor, don't have a perfect staff, don't have perfect people in this church. But I do believe this. I believe by the best we can with fallen flesh and redeemed natures, we try our best to follow what the Bible tells us to do. Because that tells us about Christ, who's the light of the world, and the Bible is the light of our path. and we try to follow that. Now, some things we'll do and say will not necessarily be really popular and will not get us on the top 10 list in Redding, California when it comes to the Shasta County Ecumenical Ministerial Association, of which we are not a member. Gladly. Consequently, we do try, though, we try our best to lift up the light of Jesus Christ and lift up the light of the Word of God. Even when we talked about this thing about voting and things, we tell you, vote your biblical conscience. If God's people in this country would vote their biblical conscience, this nation has still got enough people in it with sense to turn the nation toward God, at least put leaders who will leave us alone in office. That's the best thing. And it'll work. It'll work. I'm not fearful of anything. My Sunday school lesson this morning was, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, as a church, we need to let the light shine. As a church, we need to realize Jesus walks up and down and inspects the church, and he's looking us over. He wants to know, are you doing something about the Great Commission of Jesus Christ? This thing about our missions conference this week, the New Testaments that we sent out, the soul winning we do every week, the buses that we run. So you're just bragging on your church. Yeah, I am bragging on the church. I'm bragging on a church who believes in the Great Commission and does something about it. We just sit around in our blessed assurance and talk about a world who needs Christ so we can go get them. We can go out there where they are. The goal of the gospel is the first call. We're not supposed to just come and sit. We're supposed to go and reach. That's what the Bible says. Just doing what the New Testament church is all about. Read the book of Acts. Show me an inactive church in the book of Acts who sat around with Bible studies and little prayer groups. And those things are not bad, but show me that that was their emphasis. That's what they did to support the work of reaching people for Jesus Christ. And that same book of Acts will tell you that church went to the world and turned the world upside down. Now the world's turned us upside down. Church needs to be the light of the world. We need to, as a church, we need to let our light so shine. Be a part of a church, and a part of a church that has a testimony that's not perfect, but a part of a church of a testimony that says they put an emphasis on the souls of men, women, and children, and they care about doing something by getting the gospel to people. And the Great Commission is go, teach, baptize, teach. Four parts. You go where they are. You teach them, give them the gospel. You see them get baptized after they had the gospel, and then you teach them what the Bible says. I dare you this morning, anytime in this church, go around to any ministry in this, under the roofs of these two buildings and see if it's not a fulfillment of the Great Commission. Yesterday with services at the county jail, and this week with Bible studies and Cornerstone and men's homes and house to house and door to door and those things. That's all the Great Commission. We're just trying to do what the Bible says, and we're trying to let our light so shine, because we have a world that's in darkness. And we can either say, yep, those stinking people in their darkness. Or we can say, those dear people, we love them. We want to give the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Can I ask you a question this morning? What are you doing about making a difference with your life? Let your light so shine. Let's stand our feet, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed.